This will be Manning. Back to throw. Across the middle. Pass complete. Ball down at the 35, to the 40, to the 45, to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. What did he do? All he did was score. Joey Kent. Touchdown on play number one.
You're listening to the RTI Podcast, powered by RockyTopInsider.com.
Trey Wallace here, the RTI Podcast. Happy to be joined by Titan. Will Compton joins us this afternoon. You might know him from Bussing with the Boys. The Titans, what's up, Will? How are you?
Trey, what's up, brother? I appreciate the shout-out to the boys, man.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, come on now. I mean, last night you said Tennessee a little bit on fire by putting out an emotional tweet that the Tennessee fans love with their new coach. And before we get into that, what's your offseason look like, man? I know you've had a busy morning, we talked about, but what's it been like since the end of the season?
It's been good. You know, a lot of Bussing with the Boys stuff. It's been different than off seasons past. I mean, last year was a little similar. But usually, you know, a lot of the guys, you kind of get into the mix of traveling, playing video games, kind of relaxing, taking a load off. We've been doing a lot of stuff with Bussing. I've still taken a load off. I've enjoyed some leisure time. We've gotten to travel a little bit, but a lot of Bussing with the Boys stuff, man. It's going well for us. Taylor and I, we have a lot of fun with it. It's fun to build a business with your best friend. But now, these last couple of weeks, we kind of getting stuff ramped back up with training. Did a couple workouts this morning, had a meeting about Bussing with the Boys, had a meeting about picking with the boys, like I was telling you earlier, and now made my way home, got a little power nap in around 1 o'clock. Now I have this interview with you, and I'm doing a job shadow at 3 p.m. a virtual job shadow. So I'm always doing something, man. The brain's always working in some weird way.
A job shadow. Okay. That's interesting, right?
Yeah, so the NFLPA, they put out a list of usually there's internships or job shadows or opportunities to go kind of be around companies that you're familiar with and kind of get your feet wet, build your network a little bit. And with COVID and everything, now it's all virtual. So they have these 1 hour virtual job shadows and probably 15 to 20 different companies in different industries. And so I was just kind of back looking at it and I was like, why not just sign up for a bunch of these things? So I signed up for about 8 or 9 of them from March into April, to where you just do these hour job shadows and kind of get to learn certain industries. And it's like, why not? If it's offered, I'm going to be home. So I might as well, learn about some of this stuff anyway.
That's legit. What's the craziest one you picked?
I would say the one I'm doing today, it's in the music industry. It's in the music business. And I'm not like, there's nothing outside of picking with the boys. There's nothing I'm very familiar with. It's more of just like learning about it. And maybe there's a couple tips I pick up for something like picking with the boys or build a network in some sort of way. But, for any college athletes or anybody that listens, it's always smart to start getting your foot indoors while you can and while you're playing and while you have, relevance. I'm always trying to do something, man. I'm always trying to stimulate the brain somehow and learn something.
Hey, how fun was that when you started that with Taylor, getting that going, Bussing with the Boys in this industry? You know what I mean? It's hard to, we're always coming up with different ideas and how to do things. And you got in the industry from playing football and you found a niche and something that you liked. What was that like, getting that built up and having that rolling successful it is now?
Yeah. The first thing is
kind of mute. It's muted.
I think it just switched to, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Sorry, my computer, my Zoom just switched on me. But I kind of was very much in love or had like an obsession with listening to all these podcasts. And I always thought, like, man, it'd be cool, all the locker room talk and stuff that we get, guys that are fascinated in business, guys that kind of have their own things going off the field. showing guys' personalities, because a lot of people don't have access to that. It would be cool if we take all of our conversations we have in the sauna and the cold tubs, like around the facility, and get them behind microphones. Now, athletes weren't doing it at the time. So it was really cool that Taylor and I were kind of the first active NFL players to do it. Usually when guys are doing it, they're retired or they're removed from football. And I just thought it'd be fascinating to kind of get, guys that are active onto the bus, not necessarily the bus, but on a podcast,
right,
and talk about this stuff. Guys are used to, football players in particular, we're always inside of a helmet. People don't necessarily know who we are or our personalities outside of our social medias. So I feel like it's good to find a way to make the sport work for you instead of always working for the sport. And that's something that I kind of enjoy looking into, educating myself on, kind of if I could be an example for the next generation or next group of guys that does this thing and get into the space, they can kind of look at us as an example to have the confidence or be willing enough to, they did it. Like, why can't we start doing it? And just kind of give athletes and guys of that culture more of a voice.
Seems like everybody's doing it now as well. So congratulations for setting it up, right?
Yeah, I know. It's definitely it's very flattering when you see other podcasts getting started, guys, referring to you as like a trailblazer or a pioneer in the space. Like, I saw this USC quarterback who has something very similar to Bustin' with the Boys, but it is very cool knowing the feedback and the inspiration we're able to give from that.
Hey, real quick on the city of Nashville. I know it's been kind to you and to Taylor and all families. City's gone through a lot over the last 2 years. Today I saw where they canceled CMA Fest, which is a huge moneymaker for the city of Nashville. What's that? You guys have been in the community and done some things with the Titans organization and whatnot, but how do you think the city is responding, getting back on their feet after the tornado, the pandemic, everything that's gone into the last year and a half, 2 years?
You said it, man. I mean, you you had the tornadoes last year. You had the big power outages from the AT&T building. That thing that happened in December with the explosions. Obviously, COVID. Everyone's going through that all over the world. But Nashville's endured a lot of stuff, man. And then you were just talking about CMA Fest. I was just reading about it before I came on here. Or I just saw something on Twitter about CMA Fest getting canceled. And it's just, the city of Nashville has endured a lot. But like living here for a couple years, you learn very quickly that when something happens, this city always finds a way to rally around each other and lift each other up. No matter where people are at in the city, it's kind of like Nashville has a lot of pride with their city. So everyone's always like lending a hand and picking each other up. I have no doubt that Nashville is always a city that is going to persevere and bounce back from anything and everything. They've shown that thus far. We've shown that thus far. And it's very cool that we now have a platform that can collaborate with like the Titans or anybody and give back and pour back into the city that's helped catapult us into what we are. It's very cool to see the family atmosphere in the city of Nashville.
I lived there for 7 years. I just moved to Knoxville 3 years ago, and I grew up every summer coming to Nashville, staying with family. So I feel you. I know all about it. And trust me, they've been through hell and back.
Yes.
It's good to see guys give back, and that's the big thing.
Yeah, for sure. And like, it's very cool to witness. Like, I've only been here a couple of years since 2018. Okay. I've only been here a couple of years. So just, it's been cool to witness how the city rallies when pivotal things happen and how everyone's ready to drop whatever they're doing and rally around a cause, a situation, and just, go through it together and make people feel like, they're not alone and going through certain things.
That's a great point. All right, let's talk about it. Your time at Nebraska years ago, you're not old, but it's been a couple of years since you were there. Coach Eckler was your position coach, I think, for 2 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And he just took, they haven't formally announced it, but he took the job. He's here in Knoxville, take over special teams, help out on defense. First off, before we get into like stories and whatnot, what kind of a coach was he? What kind of man was he? Did you learn from?
Fiery. He's got a lot of energy. You're going to find a lot of good content on Coach Eckler, from his playing days at Kansas State, being a special teams demon, to coaching us, to all of his coaching stories. I've gotten familiar with guys at Georgia and North Carolina, Cole Holcomb, a couple guys out of Georgia. We're kind of like backers that kind of talk to each other, and it's all because of the connection of Coach Eckler and the energy he brings and the passion he has behind the X's and O's and teaching guys. And again, man, he's very fiery. Guys are going to like him. I, you know, we'll get into the stories, but recruits are going to enjoy him. He's a very passionate individual, and I think that's what he brings to a team, a staff. He's a good mentor. He always keeps things into perspective. He's always got a good story. You'll have to ask him about Caddyshack. He can recite the entire movie of Caddyshack.
Oh, Lord.
But the dude is a maniac, and Knoxville is going to be happy to have him.
Okay, so before we get into what you put out last night, do you know the story about him running, what, 23 miles or whatnot on the interstate?
In Nebraska. Yeah, he called me right after he got picked up by a cop.
Okay, you got to explain that to me. That is the craziest thing. So for the people out there that don't know what we're talking about, kind of explain what was going through his head when he decided to do something like that.
You know, I don't know what was going through his head, but I remember it was in April. We had just got done with a scrimmage Saturday morning. And he called me to talk about how well Sean Fisher and I did that day. And because Sean and I, we were together that day because I want to say the Masters was playing. And so we got a group of guys together. We were grilling out. I just remember being at my house when he called after he ran on this interstate. And he called. He's like, Will, the thrill. He's like, you'll never believe what happened, man. And he's like, I was, you know, running however many miles, he said. He was like, I was on the interstate and this cop pulls over. And he's like, you know, at that time, I'm like heaving, like I'm like foaming at the mouth. It's hot. He's like, I could barely run any farther. So I'm glad he pulled me over. And he's like, what are you doing running on the interstate? Like, that's illegal. You can't do that. And, you know, he does the whole Nebraska card. He's got all of his bits, man. He's a very charismatic guy. You'll learn very soon. And he's like, so this cop basically gave him a ride back to Lincoln because he was just out there. Somebody dropped him off and he was just going to run the interstate for whatever reason. He's got the same bench press routine and JUCO style workout, and he runs every day. It's the same routine every day. I don't know if he develops any more from it or stays the same, but the dude, he's a maniac. He's a lunatic.
I saw where he ran. I think he ran, if I'm not mistaken, he ran 21 miles and then the cop all of a sudden pulled him
before
over.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, this is illegal. You're not allowed to run. Yeah, you're not allowed to run on the interstate. And he was just doing it as a workout. He was like, he felt we had a good practice. He was pumped about the backers, and he had to get it out of his system. So I guess that was, hey, drop me off outside of Lincoln, and I'll run back to Lincoln.
So let's get into what you put out last night. And it was funny because it caught me off guard a little bit. And I was like, damn, okay, all right, that's pretty darn good. So when you're talking about the tattoo and whatnot, is that a tradition that he does, or is that something that got somebody to campus or player? You got to explain that, bro.
So the very first conversation, I'll go back to my first phone call with Coach Eckler.
Okay.
He called me. The staff was going through a transition. We had Bill Callahan as the head coach. Nebraska was obviously, you know, everybody knows Nebraska is what it is, similar to Tennessee's tradition.
Yep.
And Nebraska had a rough year. They fired Bill Callahan. They were going through turnover. Tom Osborne became the new AD, and they weren't necessarily – they were keeping everything in-house, so you didn't know who was going to get hired. We had a top 5 recruiting class at the time with Blaine Gabbert, a lot of good players, and a lot of guys decommitted. We ended up falling to, like, within the top 30, Bo Pelini, salvage whatever he could, and Tom Osborne. But they were very close to the vest on who was going to be the new head coach. Obviously, Bo Pelini became the new head coach very late in the game. A lot of guys had already decommitted and done their own thing, and I was pretty much going to do that. I was more so just, you know, being generous by staying committed to Nebraska, but you're kind of feeling out everywhere else. And I remember when the staff got hired on, Coach Eckler calls me. Very first phone call. This was the very first thing he ever said to me. It was, is this Will the Thrill Compton the best linebacker in high school? Obviously, they're all massaging and doing whatever, saying whatever they can. And I was like, yes, sir, who's this? He's like, Will, this is your new linebacker coach, Coach Mike Eckler. Listen, man, I got a couple things for you. I want you to know I told my kids, if I can't get Will Compton to stay committed to the University of Nebraska, their father's going to climb up on top of Memorial Stadium and he's going to jump off. And that was the first thing he ever said to me. I was sitting on the other line, you know, kind of laugh, but you're like, you know, and we had a great conversation. He came down to visit, gave one of my best friends an envelope, and he opened it up, and it was like all it said was like, there's more where this came from. He opens up the letter and it's just a stick of gum. It's just like a stick of gum. So we're dying laughing. Dude, the dude's hilarious, man. He's got, again, jokes and stories for days. And then the tattoo story, I was going into my last week of recruiting. And, you know, obviously, you know how recruits are these days. You feel yourself. You're like, oh, I'm going to announce next week. Right. And you feel like the man. You got a big ego as a little high schooler. And you're like, you know, I'm going to announce next Tuesday. And I was pretty much going to go to Illinois or Mizzou. It was down to those two. It was back when Illinois went to the Rose Bowl versus USC. And Mizzou had Chase Daniel and Jeremy Maclin. And they were doing good things in Missouri.
Okay.
So I had a lot of in-state pressure to stay in Missouri. And I was driving home from my mom's school. She's a Catholic school teacher. And Mizzou had just got done visiting my mom at her school. And I had went and talked to the coaches. And I was going to go to Mizzou.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was driving back. Bo calls me on the phone. He was like, hey, Will, do you mind if we do one last thing before you make your decision? And, you know, it's so late in the process. You're kind of drained as a recruit doing all the in-homes and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, sure. Kind of like doing a courtesy. You know, what could it be? And he was like, I'd love to fly my defensive staff down and watch the games with you on Sunday, the NFC Championship and the AFC Championship. And I was like, you know, in my head, I was like, damn it. Like, you know, I got to do another in-home visit. Like, you're trying to, like, be around friends and stuff, be a high school kid. And I was like, yeah, sure, that no problem. I get off the phone with Bo, and I'm sitting there with my best friend, Logan. And I was just like, yeah, you know, I guess, you know, you want to come watch at the house, you can, blah, blah, blah. I can't make it to wherever we were going to go. And I was like, I got to do this last thing for Nebraska. And, you know, I'm not going to go there. I'm probably going to go to Mizzou type of thing. And then the staff comes in. It's Carl Pelini, the D coordinator, Coach John Papuchis, Coach Marvin Sanders, and Coach Eckler. They all come and visit. And they all come in the house. We have an amazing evening. It was like, you know, people are in the living room, people are in the kitchen, and people are in, like, my room. And everyone's kind of just clicking with each other. And Eck comes in. And he's like, Will, you know, again, one last pitch, you know, before you go and make your decision. I just want you to understand how bad we want you. And he lifts up his sleeve and he's got this temporary 3-month tattoo. It looks like a real tattoo. And it just says, it's like the black shirt logo. And it's got black shirts under it and Compton, like, arched over the top. And again, kind of like, what the, like, you know, one of those, like, what in the hell moments is going on? And that's Eck, man. That's Eck in a nutshell. I committed there. They left the house. And I was like, I have no clue why I was thinking I wanted to go play anywhere else. This is the staff I want to play for. And the rest is history, man. I went and played for Coach Eck in Nebraska. And it's still one of the best decisions I've ever made.
So NFL Championship Sunday and Eckler coming in and y'all just connecting. And then
yeah,
showing that to you. It's like, okay, I want to
go. Yeah, pretty. Yeah, I mean, I had went on my official visit. My mom loved it.
Right.
She actually cried when I said I wasn't going to go to Nebraska. I'm choosing Illinois, Missouri. She's tearing up, and it's just like, you know, hey, mom, like, you know, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I had built a good relationship with Coach Eck, and then that last visit, meeting the rest of the staff and kind of hearing everything and all that, it was very pivotal, obviously, in my recruiting. And then the Nebraska story is just a legend that's lived on ever since then, man. I think if you type in Eckler tattoo, there's like a picture on Google with him and it's got Compton on his forehead. But the legend has lived on. And I'm stoked to be telling the story right now for the University of Tennessee.
That's freaking awesome. What, man, I can't get over that. That's pretty darn good. And if you look at his time there, and then you look at what he did with, you know, other recruits coming in and whatnot. What, I know you talk about he's a fiery kind of guy, but what's he like when it comes to, you know, joking around or being, you know, there's that term players coach, you know, it's put out there a lot. But what are some stories or something else you could talk about with Coach Eckler that these players that are at Tennessee now, you know, they're like, okay, this is kind of cool. Okay, this is the type of guy I want to be around with, coach by.
Yeah, absolutely. So Coach Bo Pelini is a very fiery head coach. He's a player's coach as well. Yeah. But he's a guy who, you know, he gets after it. Everyone sees he's kind of like a Saban. They get after everybody. And Eck had his first linebacker job under Coach Bo. So he was one of the, you know, guys that he just got on and got after. We were young in the linebacker room. You had freshman playing. So Eck endured a lot of heat from Coach Bo. And Eck's one of those guys where he comes in the meeting and you know, you would see him get, not in trouble, but it'd be like on us. You kind of feel bad. You're like, man, I wish I picked this up, because you love playing for Coach Eck. Great teacher, great coach, great hat in hands. Like, he's just good at explaining the game. And Eck was one of those guys who'd come in and just kind of set aside the BS that goes on with him. And like, look, you know, don't carry any of this weight. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about X, Y, and Z. We'd be on the field on game day. We might get cussed out or chewed out. And it's one of those things where he takes on the headset and just kind of puts you at ease. Like, hey guys, listen, he loves the game just as much as you guys. He wishes he could be out there playing. So his emotions get the best of him at times, but hey, stay focused on me right now. You guys are doing just fine. And we're going to get through this thing. And he's just one of those guys that kind of just puts stuff into perspective. Doesn't out what just happened, or say, hey, F that, or forget that, or, you know, don't worry about what he just said. It's kind of like he puts that guy in your mindset of like, he wishes he could be out there with you. That's why he's so emotional. And then just like, hey, focus on me and bring it all back down. He doesn't feed into stack on continuing to get on top of you or get on you for something. He's just one of those guys, man. And you will go into his room and he's just always charismatic with you. He's just always happy to see you, whether he's having a good or a bad day. You never know. It seems like he's always having great days. And he's just always upbeat, man. You're always excited to watch film with him. And he's just always ready to teach you the game, tell you a joke. Like, just he's all about the players. And when he did leave us to go to, man, where did he go? It might have been Kansas or
Kansas. I think it was, I forget. Kansas first. Yeah. I think
was it Kansas? It was something. Whenever he left us, I just know when he pulled us in there and he was just, he was in tears on the border of bawling because he had to leave his first linebacker group. And you felt the pain with him because you loved playing for Coach Eck just all the time, man. He's just one of those guys you kind of gravitate towards. He's got his corny jokes that you laugh at and you're like, oh, that's just Eck. And you'll learn doing stories on him and everything else. But he's an awesome guy. And I know he always wants me to come visit him now because he just feels like he did a disservice to me by how young he was in the coaching and how much more he knows now. So I can only imagine the stuff he's pouring into the kids now.
Last couple of questions. How good do you think it is for him to get back in the Southeastern Conference? And because he had success, you know, at Georgia, and his defense was actually good. Things didn't go the way with the coaching staff and whatnot. But, you know, with him going back and look at the players he developed along the way, his recruiting ability seems like it is, you know, straightforward, going to do whatever it takes in a sense, personality wise, to get you to come to his university. And if not, he's going to understand it. Is that the type of guy and recruiter that Tennessee's getting?
Absolutely. The thing he pitched to me is, you know, it's just, we're going to run everything under the sun. Like, you're going to understand the ins and outs of ball. It's going to transfer. It's all pro style. This is, you know, when he was obviously on the staff of Bo Pelini. I'm not as familiar with all the staffs he's been on. Yeah. But I know he does shoot you straight. He doesn't say nothing's given to you. You're going to have an opportunity, but you're not going to come in and be a starter. I went up and down with that throughout my career at Nebraska. I was somebody who played very early as a freshman, lost my spot. I was somebody who played – was set to start the next year. Levante David comes in. I break my foot. Levante gets his moment. I never saw the field again after Levante was playing. And he's just one of those guys that just keeps it straight with you. I mean, he lets you in. He has his arm around you. He keeps it real with you. If you're going to lose a spot, he's the guy that calls you in and he tells you, man to man. It's not one of those things where it happens and then you kind of just don't know how to talk to each other and it just is what it is. He's very much a communicator and likes to address any situation because he never wants tension in the room.
Sounds like Tennessee's getting a good assistant coach. So that's good for them.
Oh, yes, bro. They're getting a good one, man. And it's cool too, because now he's in Knoxville. Maybe I can make my way over and become a little Tennessee fan a little bit.
It's only 170 miles away. Trust me, it's an easy trip. Don't worry about that. That's fantastic. Hey, what do you got coming up in the next couple of weeks with Bussing with the Boys? What's going on? Who y'all interviewing and whatnot? And how's that going?
Yeah, so tomorrow, Wednesday, we are dropping our George Kittle and TJ Hawkinson episode. Sweet. And then we got some people in the works. I'm actually going to go out to Arizona soon. That's where Taylor's out there training and doing his rehab for his knee. So I'm going to go out there for like a week and we're going to do a few episodes, hopefully get DK Metcalf, Paul Bissonnette from the Spin Chicklets, and he's big in the hockey world. But we're just going to keep stacking them, man. We got a, uh, we're grinding right now. We're in the phase of booking guests and juggling football and our workouts and busing with the boys and family time and all that stuff. So we are very much in our bus with the boys season right now. But you can find us all. I'm learning the media.
I know you got a problem.
Yeah. You can find us on all podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, Bussin' with the Boys. Subscribe, leave a nice little review. We're also on YouTube, Bussin' with the Boys YouTube channel. We have a fun YouTube channel. But you can find us on all social medias, Bussin' WTB. By the boys, for the boys. So go ahead and subscribe.
Well, Compton, brother, you're fantastic, man. Have fun with your digital learning today that you're doing. And we appreciate it. We look forward to having you on in the future.
Yeah, Trey, thanks a lot, brother. Let me know if you need any more stories with Eckler.
Trust me, I'm going to come to you. I appreciate it.
All right, man.
That's Will Compton. This is the RTI Podcast. See you tomorrow.